Thank you for joining us at Living Word NRA's podcast. We are a church who worships God and advances His kingdom. For more messages and content, be sure to follow us and subscribe to our channel for you to stay connected. Right now, we're going to hear a life-changing message from a senior pastor, Pastor Nick C.
We're going to continue with our sermon series today, which we've entitled Christmas Hope. And we've been simply looking at some of the Christmas stories. And today, we're going to be looking at the story of the wise men from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. I've entitled the message, Wise Men's Gifts, or the Wise Men's Gifts. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. In coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Let's pray. God Almighty, we give thanks and praise to you for bringing all of us here together to celebrate this Christmas service. Lord, I want to thank you for the brothers and sisters who are here. Thank you for the life and the community of this church. This is a great blessing for us. And we thank you for the favor that you have given to us. And thank you, Lord God, for this day and this time that once again we can open your word. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will once again speak to our hearts and our minds. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. There was a young couple that had just been married for a couple of years. And one day the husband came home from work and his wife was waiting for him at the door. She had this big smile. She met him with a kiss and a hug. And taken a little bit by surprise, the husband asked her, "What's going on?" And she said, "I have a big surprise for you." And the wife looked at her husband, still, you know, grinning from ear to ear, and excited, she said, "Soon, we will not be the only two people living in this house." And the husband, after hearing this, you know, swept her off her feet, swung her around, hugged her and kissed her and said, "You know what? You made me the happiest man alive." And the wife looked back at him and said, "I'm so glad to know that you're okay with this, because Mom will be moving in with us next week." Now, that's not exactly the surprise or the kind of gift that a husband was looking for, right? Well, it's Christmas time. We're talking about Christmas gifts, the giving and the receiving of gifts. Diba? Some of you probably did your Christmas shopping already. How many of you have done that? Wala pa? Okay, so some of you have that sudden panic inside right now because you realize you haven't done yours yet. But not to worry. I understand there's a new way of giving gifts this Christmas, right? All you have to do is what? Open that app on your phone, right? Choose the item, add to cart. Not to forget, if you know, if there's a free shipping voucher, right? I understand some of the YPs did it this way. They came up with a wish list of items. And then this wish list, their manito or their manita would look at and check out the list. And they would order the list for them. So that would ensure that you will get receive the gift that you want. Diba? That's ingenious. I think that's really, really a great idea. Because we all know what a bad gift looks like when we see it, diba? I remember a Time magazine ran a story of some of the worst gifts that the readers had received. And there was this one lady who complained that for many years, her mother-in-law would buy expensive gifts for another daughter-in-law. And then because the expensive gift would have a free gift, she gets the free gift. Kaluoy, no? You got that? No. Another reader told about her spouse who would tell her, you know, I'll give you Christmas gift after Christmas because it's cheaper by then. Grabe, would you like to have a spouse like that? And the problem was, after Christmas, the spouse never bought her a gift. Okay? We all know a bad gift when we see it, right? But I think we will all agree, it's not just the gift itself that makes a bad gift at Christmas. It's actually the giver that makes it bad. I mean, we have parents who hold on to, you know, shabby items for years just because their child took the time and care to give it to them. Diba? They feel that, no, gihimo ra man ni haguan ra man sa akong anak, bahal nagbati. Diba? On the other hand, if a gift was given with insincerity or unkindness, it really doesn't matter what the gift is. It's a bad gift. Diba? It's the person behind the gift that makes the gift special. And so with all the gifts that we're going to be giving this season and maybe receiving as well, the question we might want to ask is this. How can we be the gift beyond what we actually give? Because we are the gift, right? We are the gift. How can we be the gift beyond what we actually give? Some of you might say, you know, you have to be thoughtful. And certainly that goes a long way, diba? But how can you really be thoughtful this season? And we'll say, you know, just be sincere, right? How easy it is then to be sincere with all the high expectations around us? Of course, generosity will be key because, you know, you'd love something that costs a lot. But on the other hand, how can you truly be generous in a season that there's so many requests that's being bombarded on us? Or what about love? Of course, when we give gifts, love must be behind all of that, right? But then, how easy is it to give love on Christmas Day? So we ask ourselves again, how can you and I be the real gift on Christmas beyond what we actually give? It's a good question to ask, right? It's a good question to ask when we give gifts. And I believe the answer lies as well back in the first Christmas to those who actually gave gifts. And it's the story of the Magi, the wise men who came and brought gifts to Joseph and Mary in honor of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We call them the three kings, di ba? Although the Bible really doesn't say that there's just three of them. In fact, older traditions say that there might have been 12 of them. And they did go to the manger in Bethlehem. When you read Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, the Greek word there says they went to a house. And the word for house there is the Greek word oikia, which really means a place of dwelling. So it was probably not the stable in Bethlehem anymore. And that means Jesus, the baby, was probably 1 or 2 years old by then. Another thing, these men were pagans. When you think of the Magi, please remember these are true blue pagans. They were not Jewish people. The word Magi or the Greek word magos forms the root, or where we get the word magician. So they were a caste of wise men that specialized in astronomy, astrology, and the natural sciences. So they were scientists, probably religious philosophers, who were influenced, some people say, by Daniel's writings or were familiar with Jewish prophecies. Now, when we read the story of the Magi, it's really an amazing story. If you really think about the context and the situation of that time, although we're so accustomed to the story. But here, we will actually see these guys teach us what it means to be the real gift beyond what we give. Because these were the guys who gave the first Christmas gift, if you think about it, diba? So, let me just give you the lesson or the takeaway that we can learn from them. And it's this. It's simply this. Now, we can sum it this way. We are the gift, not just because of what we give, but because of the kind of giver that we are. Okay, that's a little long. We are the gift. We ourselves are the gift. Not just because of what we give, but because of the kind of giver that we are. So let's think about that this Christmas season as we think of giving gifts to others. But most importantly, as we think of the Christmas season, we want to give ourselves to Christ, right? We must think of ourselves as we give ourselves to Christ, that we are the gift. Not just because of what we give to Him, but because of the kind of giver that we are. Now, there are three things that we can learn from these wise men. Let me share three things now. Number one is this. We understand the kind of giver that they are in what they were willing to do. So we see from their example the kind of giver they were because of what they were willing to do. Now imagine this. Jerusalem at that time, everything was, you know, normal. Everything was just normal. And then suddenly there's this entrance of a large entourage of visitors from the city, into the city from outside. Verse 1 says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, it says, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. So it tells us that they are from the east, could have been from the far east, says the scholars, probably the Persian Gulf area in Babylon. Let me show you this map, which gives us approximately the route that they took. That's about 900 miles or about 1,500 kilometers. That's far, okay? Think about traveling from Cebu to Bogo. How far is that? That's about 98, 100 kilometers. So one way, multiply that by about 15, and they did not travel by car. So layo good. Now, if they traveled by a caravan with camels, it would have taken them roughly at least 30 days. The map that I showed you estimates it to be 120 days for them to just travel from Persia to Jerusalem. And so the map shows us that. So we're talking about the better part of 3 to 4 months just for them to reach Jerusalem. And the premise that they had was this. They saw a star, a kind of cosmic anomaly, and they said, the king of Israel has been born. Let's go. Now, we don't know how they knew. The Bible doesn't tell us. But they would have canceled at least 6 months of their lives in order to take that trip. Right? Think about that. I mean, ask yourself, what would it take for you to leave the comforts of your homes, to go to a place far away on a long and dangerous journey? What would it take? I guess for some, it would be romance, diba? I mean, LDR is the pits, diba? So you want to see. Or for some of you, it's going to be wealth. Most definitely, a business opportunity is worth the distance. But would you go out in faith? Like, just imagine the conversation between the wise men, their neighbors. And the neighbors asked them, you're gonna go on a journey, right? Yeah. Where? We don't really know where. How far is it? We don't also know how far it is. How long will you be gone? Not quite sure actually how long we'll be gone. And probably the neighbor would scratch his head and say, you know what, for wise men, you don't know much, right? And this tells us the kind of givers that these men were because of the sacrifice that they were willing to do. Now, in this story, we also find another group of people who contrasts the wise men. Let's read on in verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet was written, You, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. So notice here, if you read that carefully, that when Herod asked the chief priest and the teachers of the law, where is this Christ to be born? What did they say? Bethlehem. Now, this was a quote that was from Micah, actually. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, was foretold some 700 years earlier. They knew the answer by heart. They didn't have to look it up. Now, here's the thing. Why didn't the Jewish leaders go and check it out? As far as we know, none of them did. And you know what? It wasn't that far. It was just something like 10 kilometers would have taken them 2 or 3 hours to walk by foot. And so if you think about it, they were so close and yet so far, right? All that knowledge did not do them any good. And the key difference, according to Ray Pritchard, is this. He says, the Magi knew so little, came so far, and gave so much. The teachers of the law knew so much, were so near, and they did nothing. As I reflected and thought of that, I asked myself the question, maybe we should ask ourselves the question, what is it that might cause us to be prone to settledness? By that I mean the kind of spiritual indifference when it comes to the things of God. Because you know, it's possible for us to know the Bible and ignore the King, right? Jesus always stands at the end of the road for all of us. There can be no middle ground. And to ignore him means to live as if he doesn't matter at all. Do we live that way? Do we give that way? You know, God doesn't care much about what we know in our heads as much as what we are willing to do with our hands, right? The Magi gave so much because of what they were willing to do. That's the first one. Secondly, we knew them to be the kind of giver that they were in who they were willing to worship. So when these wise men traveled to Jerusalem, what were they going there for? When you read verse 2, actually that reveals their intention. It says, where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have what? Come to worship him. And when you go and jump to verse 11, when they reach the house, it says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and what? They bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Now think about this. These guys canceled at least half a year of their lives in order to go to a very long trip to come to this house to see this boy king, to bow down and worship him. Now, the Greek word for worship repeated twice here is the word proskuneo, which means to kiss, like a dog licking his master's hand. To fawn or crouch to prostrate oneself in homage. That's what they did. They bowed down and worshipped. Now, Tertullian, a second century father, suggests that they could have been kings. These guys could have been kings because of the kind of gifts that they brought. And, you know, at the very least, they would have been nobles and scholars. Why would they do that? Why would they bow down to a baby? Why would they worship Jesus? Well, verse 2 reveals it to us. It says, these wise men saw that Jesus was a king. Somehow they saw beyond the present, and in faith they worshiped him. They were not ashamed to fall down on their faces before him. Here's what one Bible commentator says. He says this. It says, although you read that the Magi met Herod, we do not read that they worshipped him. Very interesting. But when they found this tiny baby rocking in his mother's arms, these great men fell on their faces before him. And to this baby, they gave the honor due a king. What Herod craved, the baby received. It's amazing to think about that. Traveled all the way, all this time, just to arrive at that place to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with the little knowledge that they had, remember they were Gentiles, right? Matthew emphasizes here to us that they have come for the express purpose of worshiping Christ. And you know what? That should remind us that Jesus is not simply a person that we are to admire or that we look to him when the occasion calls for it. Jesus is to be worshipped because he is the Son of God. Now we know that he is no longer a baby, right? But he is to be worshipped because he is the Son of God. Now when Herod heard the news, when he heard from these wise men the phrase King of the Jews, where is this King of the Jews? He knew exactly what they meant, right? Verse 7, then Herod called the Magi secretly, found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Now, think about this. Did he really intend to worship Jesus? Actually, no. When you read in verse 13, which is not part of our text today, you will see that Herod's purpose is to kill the baby. But here's something that he got right. Now, despite his depravity, his paranoia, he actually got it. He understood, Herod understood, that he could not be king and have Jesus as king at the same time. That's why he saw Christ, this baby boy, as a threat. When they called him the King of the Jews, he said, that can't be. I cannot be king and that little boy king at the same time. And it's the same for us, right? You and I can't be on the throne at the same time Jesus on the throne as well. It's not going to work. We can't be both on the throne. And can I remind you what a king does to your life and to mine? The king always calls the shots, right? There is no discussion as to whether we obey him or not. And you never get any higher to a position than that of a servant. That is what a king does for us. And a lot of times what happens to us is we forget it, even when we call him Lord. Lord, thank you for this wonderful day. Lord, thank you for the food. Lord, thank you for my family. But what does the word Lord mean? Sometimes the word Lord just becomes a pakapin sa ato ang prayer, right? But the word Lord means Master. Worship is a call for us to realize who Jesus is and who we are not. It's as simple as that. He is Lord. We are not. He is our Master. We are not. He calls the shots and we don't. Are we here to worship the King? Amen? It's Christmas. It's a Christmas service. It's nice to be with fellow believers. It's nice to sing, you know, carols. And nothing wrong with that. These are wonderful things. But more than anything else, we have come to worship the King. Amen. The journey that the wise men took led them to the feet of Jesus, and there they worshiped Him. And that is where our journey should take us as well. At the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, bowing before Him and worshiping Him. Amen. We see the kind of giver that they were in what they were willing to do and in who they were willing to worship. And third and last, we see the kind of giver they were in what they were willing to give. Now, after they worshiped, did they just leave? No. They brought something. They had gifts for the King. And those gifts were not ordinary gifts, right? Verse 11 says, "Then they opened their treasures and presented Him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh." So gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Probably the reason why we call them three kings, because there were three gifts. And that's very nice when you have a Christmas pageant, right? You have three guys bringing three gifts. But we don't really know if there were three of them. Now, gold probably in gold coins. Frankincense is this very expensive incense. And myrrh was one of those expensive oils that they use for cosmetics and sometimes even embalming. Back in the day, when you heard these words, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the only thing that you can say is this: expensive. Mahal kayo na, right? Now, these guys were not uneducated guys. These were not unimportant people. But when they came and put their faces on the floor and lowered themselves in front of this baby, they also went all out with their gifts. Now, I think that the gifts that we offer today, in some way, when we put in our time and our talents and our treasures to God and before God for in His disposal, what we are doing is we are also offering ourselves, right? To give God your time, to give God your talent, to give God your treasure is to give God you. It's our way of saying to the Lord, "This is Lord, I love you. I am devoted to you." It reveals how important He is to us. Amen. When we give someone a gift, we really are giving something of ourselves to that person, right? How much more when we give to the Lord? One commentator says this, Ronald Horgan, he says, "What we do know is that they didn't just wander out, find a baby, and then decide that they needed to find a mall to pick up a gift. They brought gifts, expensive gifts, because they knew they were going to worship a King." Are we all out when we give to our King? Now, some of us may say, "You know what? I do give. I do serve. Or I do offer my time." The question is this, really. Is it the best? Do we give the Lord our best? Let me read to you something from Corrie ten Boom's book, Tramp for the Lord. Now, in that book, she tells the story of an old woman that she met in Russia during the time of communist persecution of Christians in the Cold War. Here's what she says. Let me just read this for you. She says, "The old woman that she met, no, was lying on a small sofa propped up by pillows. Her body was bent and twisted almost beyond recognition by the dreaded disease of multiple sclerosis. So the husband spent all his time caring for her since she was unable to move off the sofa. It says, the only part of her body that she could control was her right hand. And with the index finger of that hand, she had for many years glorified God by typing on a vintage typewriter beside her. Can you imagine that? One finger typing. And all day and far into the night, she would type. She translated Christian books into Russian, always using just that one finger. She typed out the pages, portions of the Bible, books of Billy Graham, Corrie Ten Boom. Not only does she translate books, the husband said, but she prays for these people every day while she types. Sometimes it takes a long time for her finger to hit the key or for her to get the paper in the machine, but all the time she's praying for those whose books she's working on. And then Corrie Ten Boom continues to write, says, I looked at her wasted form on the sofa, her head pulled down and her feet curled under her body, and I cried inwardly, oh Lord, why don't you heal her? Her husband, sensing my anguish of soul, gave the answer. God has a purpose in her sickness. Every other Christian in the city is watched by the secret police. But because she had been so sick for so long, no one ever looks on her. They leave us alone, and she is the only person in all the city who can type quietly, undetected by the police. Now, one day, Corrie received a letter from the lady's husband who described the day she had gone home to be with the Lord. And the husband said that the woman, his wife, had worked until midnight that very night of her death, typing with one finger to the glory of God. You think you give gifts? What kind of gift do we give to the Lord? What kind of gift do we give to the Lord? Is it revealed in what we are willing to do? Is it revealed in our worship of Him? Is it revealed in what we give to Him? Because we are the gift, right? Not just because of what we give, but because of the kind of giver that we are. And just as God gave us His best gift at Christmas, we too are to offer Him our best gift. Amen. God Himself is the greatest giver. And Jesus is our greatest gift. And in a few days, we're going to be celebrating Christmas. I want to offer this simple reminder. Our eternal God entered this world as a baby in a manger as a gift for all people, rich or poor, educated and uneducated, young and old. How do we respond to that gift? How do we respond? I end with a story or an illustration from Paul Tripp about his frustration with his son. Let me read it to you. Here's how he explained it. He said, I gave birth to a son who just doesn't understand gifts. He said, my wife and I would go out when he was a little guy to buy what we thought was the perfect gift. And he would tear open the gift and he'd end up playing with the box. It drove us crazy, he said. So we decided on Christmas that we were going to find the gift of gifts that he would not be able to resist. So we shopped and we found the gift. We were so excited. We were much more excited at that moment when the gift came out from under the tree and he was about to unwrap it, much more excited than him. So he ripped open the gift like a little boy would and actually got out this toy and he began to play with it. And he said, I had a feeling of such victory. I went into the kitchen to get something to drink. was in there for a few minutes and came out and he was playing with the box. I couldn't believe it. You know what? If you are a child of God, you have been given the most awesome gift that could ever be given. It's the most beautiful gift, no matter what perspective. It's a gift of such majesty that it's hard for words to describe it. It's a gift that in all of your work, in all of your effort, in all of your achievements, you could never earn and you could never deserve. It's absolutely, without question, the gift of gifts. And it is the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Right? But here's the thing. Sometimes, we are satisfied to play with a box. Now, I've seen a lot of Christians in the face of the gift that what they do is that they are contented to play with the box. Don't ever let that happen this Christmas. Amen. Don't let the trappings, the get-togethers, the pressure of the holidays, even the gift givings become the box that replaces Jesus. Amen. Let us celebrate because it is Christmas. Our Savior is born. He is the greatest gift of all.